ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री शुक उवाच, इति उक्तवन्तं पुरुषं पुरातनम् महानवभावोऽखिल साधु सम्मतः। बन्धान जलिर्बाष्प कलाकुलेक्षणो भक्ति उत्कलो गदगदया गिराब्रवीत्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड द नेक्स्ट वर्ड्स प्रपोर्ट बाय प्रभुपाद। सुखदेव स्वामी सेड, व्हेन द सुप्रीम एंशियंट इटर्नल पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हैड द स्पोकन टू बलि महाराज, who is universally accepted as a pure devotee of the Lord and therefore a great soul, Bali Maharaj, his eyes filled with tears, his hands folded and his voice faltering in devotional ecstasy, responded as follows. Text 2, Bali Ruvacha. Bali Maharaj said, what a wonderful effect there is in even attempting to offer respectful obeisances to you. I merely endeavored to offer you obeisances, but nonetheless the attempt was as successful as those of pure devotees. The causeless mercy you have shown to me, a fallen demon, was never achieved even by the demigods or the leaders of the various planets. Report. When Vamanadev appeared before Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj immediately wanted to offer him respectful obeisances, but he was unable to do so because of the presence of Shukracharya and other demoniac associates. The Lord is so merciful, however, that although Bali Maharaj did not actually offer obeisances but only endeavored to do so within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed him with more mercy than even the demigods could ever expect. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.40, Swabham Vesya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Even little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhava Grahi Janardana because he takes only the essence of a devotee's attitude. If a devotee sincerely surrenders, the Lord as a super soul in everyone's heart immediately understands this. Thus, even though externally a devotee may not render full service, if he is internally sincere and serious, the Lord welcomes his service nonetheless. Thus, the Lord is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana because he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. Hare Krishna. This chapter entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. We are very blessed that we are able to see in front of our own eyes, of course through our ears, the exalted nature of some of the greatest persons who lived in this world. There's a book of celebrities, Srimad Bhagavatam. This book of celebrities describes the glories of all those exalted, perfected souls. Dharma sa tattvam nihitam guhayam. It is said that the essence of dharma, a religion, is very guhya. It is not possible to understand any of these tattvas by reading scriptures, discussions, logical debates, visiting holy places, taking baths in all the holy rivers. These are only superficial means of attaining that goal. To understand the real essence of what bhakti is, one has to introspect and see with careful eyes, with careful vision, how the great souls behave. Therefore, the Shastra very clearly says, to understand what is real bhakti, which is what we are all here for, that can only be done by the studying the lives of the great souls. And therefore, the paramount mandate for all of us, for all times to come, is Mahajanena Kathastha Panthaha. The Panthaha, the path back to the feet of Radha and Krishna, is only to be achieved by walking the same road, on the same road, which was treaded by the great souls. Any other path will lead us to somewhere else. So here we are seeing the behavior of Bali Maharaj. And what he is going through a very intense emotional situation. We can practically feel through these words of Prabhupada and Shukadeva Goswami that he is in a state of exalted spiritual emotion of ecstasy. We sing the Sisashtakam, right? Nainam Garad Ashrudharaya Vadanam Gad Gad Ruddhaya Gira. What is that stage? That is the stage of the Bhava stage of Bhakti. Very high stage. We can see Bali Maharaj manifesting this Bhava Bhakti platform. His eyes are filled with tears of love. His voice is faltering. And with the demeanor of an insignificant servant with folded hands, is offering his glorification to the Lord. There is one particular quality. There are 26 qualities of a Vaishnav. And Krishna has given in the Gita also various qualities must be imbibed to achieve him. There are 20 qualities. 21 something. How much is that? 26 Bhagavad Gita. That chapter is there. Amanitvam Adambitvam. But the first thing he says is Amanitvam. Right? Adambitvam. Right? So, in all those qualities, this quality of humility is considered as the topmost. Therefore, the access path to Krishna is a road packed up by only those devotees who practice this quality of humility of heart. There are no proud persons on this road. There are no envious souls on this road. This road is only filled with those who have walked the path of pure humility to Krishna. So Bali Maharaj is that showing here his humility. He said, I only try to offer you pranams. Man mana bhava madabhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru. It is what the Lord wants us to do. Offer obeisance to him. That's why we do this every day when we come to the temple. Or go to any holy place, see the deities, offer pranams. So seeing the Lord coming to his yajnashala, he was naturally inspired to offer pranams. That's the first response when you see a great soul or the Lord. The moment you see a great soul, immediately you want to bow down. That's a natural response, almost a reflex response of the heart in seeing exalted sannyasi or a senior Vaishnava or the Lord himself or the spiritual master, pranams. So he wanted to do that. But he was conscious that Durmukha and all those fellows were there around. All these names are given there. Durmukha. So how can he do that in front of them? So he didn't do it. But the Lord in the heart is there. It is said that there are three ropes controlling this world. The three modes of material nature. And there are three ropes which pull us out of this world. Three ropes which bind us, sattva, rajas and tamas. And the rope of Krishna, given to the conditioned souls to pull him out, also are three in number, where Krishna manifests. Krishna manifests as the holy scriptures, he manifests as the guru and the sadhus, and manifests as the paramatma in the heart. In this way, in these three powerful ways, Krishna manifests himself, a resident of Golok Vrindavan, the Lord, but he is available to all of us through this threefold rope to pull us out also against these three ropes which are pulling us downwards. Right? So the Lord in the heart, he is able to understand the heart of a devotee. As you say in English, Man sees outside, right? And God sees inside. God sees the heart. He doesn't see our lips, doesn't see our tongue, what we are speaking, whatever else, but He sees our heart with a microscope. What is happening? And He extracts the essence of that mentality. Because if Krishna is, if the Paramahamsa is the great soul, the Paramahamsas, what is the Paramahamsa? A Paramahamsa person who can actually extract the essence of everything. Like the Hamsas. So the Lord is the supreme, supreme source of all Paramahamsas. So obviously He's not going to just go into the small, small, thing. He'll look for, that particular mentality which is actually, where is the devotion there? There will be so many governing it, but He wants that little devotion. The sister of Bali Maharaj was having this feeling small in her heart. She was a demonic lady. But seeing Vamandev, she had a small feeling, oh, this is such a beautiful child, I want to nurse him. Right? It's a small thing. But then of course she changed her mind when she saw that he is grabbing up everything which his brother has got. But the Lord has supposedly had detected that. Oh, you want to serve me as a mother, don't you? Okay. So it only taken that part of her entire consciousness and left everything aside as being wasteful. And therefore he had to bless her with the body of Putana, where she could actually, nurse the Lord. Right? And then because of that desire, she was purified even further and she became a mother, a sister of Mother Yashoda in the spiritual sky. How kind is Krishna? The Lord we worship is so supremely kind that even a smallest act of devotional desire, not just a devotional act, in the act, even the smallest act of devotional desire is picked up by the Lord and magnifies that and blesses according to that. That's how powerful bhakti is. That even bhakti is so attractive to Krishna that even a small desire in the heart of a devotee, it's enough to purify him. Right? So everything begins with desire. So here Bali Maharaj offering his obeisances within his heart and showing his humility. Today is the glorious day of Guru Purnima. It is the most auspicious day of the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami, who is also the supreme guru. He is a guru not only for all of us as our very important Acharya Siksha Guru in our parampara, but he is a guru for the entire land of Vrindavan. He is the primeval guru of the Brijvasis. Therefore this day is celebrated as Guru Purnima. It is said the Lord wanted to teach this world so many qualities, and therefore the Lord sends his devotees to this world. By studying the example of great souls, we are making a very deep study. Like people study analytically, elements and molecules and, science is all about that. Analyzing exactly how the molecular structure is by spectroscopic analysis and God knows what else they do, right? They keep on analyzing which bond and what type of this is there and twist it and turn it and add one carbon radical and hydroxyl radical and, acetic acid, whatever. They do so many things. And they just waste their life. Looking at all these stupid molecules, which are not worthy of any attention whatsoever. Right? And they forget the Lord. They're looking at this tiny thing, a molecule or an atom or in a pison or a meson, whatever else. But they forget to see they are looking, trying to look for that small thing, but they don't see the Almighty Lord in front of their eyes, who's like so powerfully present. Right? So we also want to look with that analytical attitude, the same attitude the scientist has into the life of a great soul. Every act of a great soul is perfect. Rupa Goswami, we all are Rupanugas, Gaudiya Acharya Rupanugas. So he is Rupa Goswami, he is Rupa Manjari. So among all the gopis of the Lord, the most important are Srimati Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi, gopi assistants of Srimati Radharani. Among all the Manjaris, the most important one are Rupa Manjari and Labhanga Manjari. So Rupa Manjari came as Rupa Goswami, Lavanga Manjari came this world as Srila Sanatana Goswami. So these are perfected souls. They did not come, they were not, we were forced to come here. We were thrown from the spiritual sky. Because we allowed this contamination of dvesha to enter our heart. Icha dvesha samuthena. The dvesha came, the desire was just separately. But they were not forced to come here. They came here on the Lord's deputation to show the world what it means to do real bhakti. So Sanatana Goswami has got so much importance in our sampradaya. Primarily, the Vedic scriptures are containing three subjects. It is explained by Lord Chaitanya. Sambandha, Abhidheya and Prayojana. So the first step, the most important step, is to create a relationship with the Lord. We are disconnected from the Lord by millions of lifetimes of separation and enjoying errant pleasures of this gross matter. But we are expected to again get reconnected to the Lord. Except our sambandha. The sambandha is always, of course, there. But we have forgotten that sambandha. Prabhupada used to say, I'm going to America to do what? I'm only going to America to do what? To teach what you have forgotten. So, Sanatana Goswami is that acharya who invokes mercy in our hearts in such a way that we can establish firmly, strongly back this eternal relationship with the Lord. As a whole science of sambandha. Sridhar Sambandha Acharya. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach sense control principle to all of us, the bhaktas, for example of Ramananda Rai. He wanted to teach neutrality in bhakti through Damodar Pandit. He wanted to teach the world forbearance and tolerance, for example of Thakur Haridas. He wanted to teach the world humility, for example of Sanatana Goswami. This is the quality to attract the Lord. The quality. If we have everything in spiritual life without this quality, we will not be able to attract the Lord. We can attract the world, attract followers, attract other devotees as well. But we will not be able to attract the Lord. That's the goal of life. So we have to somehow learn from Sanatana Goswami this, how to have this quality of humility. Now, humility is very difficult to practice when you have so much. If you have nothing with you, of course, a beggar is part of his penny, but usually beggars, you know, pride is such a stupid thing that can come in to anybody. But generally speaking, one who has so much, to be humble is very difficult. Kuti Maharani says that, right? The four things are so difficult to, you know, practice humility. Now, look at these great personalities. Prabhu and Sanatana Goswami. What they had, even a millionaire today doesn't have, or a billion doesn't have. Right? He was the home minister of Nabhusen Shah. Nabhusen Shah was the most powerful Mughal king of the time, ruler of the entire Bengal. And practically the whole kingdom was being run by Sanatana Goswami. And all the finances by Rupa Goswami. So they're handling the whole thing. If you have home ministry and finance in your hand, you have the whole thing. What else remains? Nothing else remains. And this meat-eater king was simply going out and conquering different lands to expand his territory and domain. Right? But how did he get these two people to join him? He threatened them. That if you don't join me, because he wanted to get all the Hindus aligned to him. The Muslims already aligned to him, but the Hindus would not because such a tyrant, such a cruel person. So by getting these two Hindu leaders under him, he would get the entire samaj of Hindus to be under him also. So he threatened them, if you don't join me, I will harass you, I will torture all of you. So they joined him. But please remember that even though they are knowing that they are joining a meat-eater king in service, their nishtha to him was so complete. They were so loyal to him. They were not like hypocrites, just doing something superficial to just please him. They were so dedicated in their service, and they did so well and efficiently run the kingdom that the king, which is very rarely done, usually a king will never do this, a Muslim king will never do this, he honored them with titles, Dabir Khas and Sakara Malik. This is rarely done. Because they are so much obliged to them, so much impressed by them. And he gave them huge properties, palaces to live in, everything which you desire. So they were very, 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 very rich people. It is said almost when they were sitting on the Darbar, the capital was at Ramakeli. It was compared like the Darbar of Indra. So many great souls, pandits would come and hear them. And what knowledge? Not just money. Money is, anyone can earn money. But knowledge. They knew all languages. Persian, Sanskrit, Bengali. So many languages. And said deep knowledge of the scriptures. They were highly scholarly personalities. But their scholarship was so great that even other scholars would come to learn from them. And when they would come into the kingdom, they would get up from their thrones and walk down and make them seated. House them comfortably in places which they had built around. And serve them like a menial servant. Truly humble. We will try to recount today, in the time we have, some of these qualities of humility which are very precious, very like jewels in the character of Sanatana Goswami. But hopefully by hearing about him, speaking about him, somewhere we are associating with him. Right? In fact, that's the importance of the day. Why are we discussing somebody who lived in this world 500 years ago? What is the relevance of this person today? Does it make any sense to talk about somebody who lived 500 years ago? Yes, it makes all good sense. Because devotees never die. We're not talking about dead people. He reasons the ill who think Vaishnavas die while thou art still living in sound. Vaishnavas die to live. And living spread the holy name around. This is the poem of Thakur Bhakti. You know. So, Sanatana Goswami is not dead because he didn't have a body of flesh. It was a spiritual body. So, we are talking about a person who has eternal life. So, his relevancy of his character, relevance of his behavior and his traits are for all times to come, for all sadhakas, for all times to come to understand and realize. They were writing letters to Lord Chaitanya regularly, Rupa and Sanatan. They came to know that Lord is here. He said, please accept us as your menial servants. And they were constantly expressing the desire to join him. But the Lord did not reciprocate immediately, which he often doesn't do that. It's one of his styles. He doesn't respond immediately. Getting God is not cheap. He wants to see consistent behavior. So the consistency and steadfastness, not sporadic emotional moods. And then only one small stanza, like a person who is like a woman who has a paramour, works so nicely so that the husband doesn't detect that she has somebody else whom she loves, but in the heart of hearts she's always thinking about when she can join her paramour. Very esoteric type of analogy. Mahaprabhu has given the Rasika analogy. So they understood, being great souls, that we are supposed to serve the king for now. Let him not detect that our hearts are already with Lord Chaitanya. Rupa Goswami left suddenly. And Sanatana Goswami could not leave because of impending domestic issues. But he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the pandits. The king came, became very angry. What nonsense, you are, you know, neglecting your duties. And this king who was sitting like a brother, but a materialistic person cannot be trusted with his mind. He can always be fickle-minded, always change. So like Bali Maharaj was from, we said, from riches to rags, right? Sometimes it goes like that, reverse. Not sometimes, usually it goes like that. People come from up, down. Whatever goes up has to, law of gravity prevails. So here he was, Bali Maharaj, king of all the three worlds, and suddenly became a prisoner. Sanatana Goswami, same thing. He was a home minister, but he became a prisoner. The king imprisoned him. And of course, somehow or the other, he left the prison. Wearing royal robes, now he was wearing rags. He was in dirty clothes, unshaven, not bathed. He walked through jungles, walked through various forests, Patada, Hajipur, various places he went. And at last he reached his Lord. The call of the Lord is so strong. Srikant, his brother-in-law, said, please take something. I'm just so unhappy to see you like this. In Hajipur, he had come to buy some horses. So take something, stay with me for 2-3 days, take a wash, get all right, eat well, stay with me for some time, and then you proceed further. So I will not stay with you for a moment. The calling of the Lord is so great that nothing of the world attracts you anymore. Everything becomes pale and insignificant. What about food and shaving and bathing? It's not relevant. A man can survive on one carrot a day for 1 month if there is a calling like that. Nothing of this world is of any value. What is this carrot business? So, in this way, he was rushing towards the Lord. Like the Ganga flows towards the sea uncontrollably. He went and sat outside his house. The Lord immediately understood, my associate is here. He said, Chandrasekhar, just go and see. Is there somebody sitting outside? A mendicant is there? He said, yeah, there is somebody. You know, it's a Muslim mendicant. All looks very niggardly and all that. Just bring him in. So he comes inside and the Lord embraces him with all his love. And they cry tears of love. Ecstasy. For the first time now, Sanat Goswami is free. He's free. Free from bondage of service to a Yavana. And he's joined back his Lord in his eternal service. So there is intense ecstasy of union of Labhanga Manjari and the Lord. Said, you have saved me, my dear Lord. Mahaprabhu said, you have been saved by Krishna. Sanatana Goswami said, I don't know who is Krishna. But now that you have saved me, this is the devotee's heart. We may talk about Krishna. We can hear about Krishna from 10th canto. But really, what do we really know about Krishna actually? If we think we know about Krishna, then we are cheating ourselves. Because Brahma said in the 14th chapter of 10th canto that as far as I am concerned, let people think whatever they think about, they know about you. Brahmaji is saying with four heads and his exalted nature of pure devotion, I don't know you, my Lord. I don't know you, my Lord. So if Brahma is saying, I don't know you, who you are, and if he says, yeah, I know, I've read Krishna Karnamrita and Gopal Champu and whatever else we have read, and then we say, oh, yeah, I know Krishna. But no, we just have some intellectual understanding. To know Krishna is not so easy. In fact, you can never know Krishna unless he reveals himself to you. Just like you can never know the sun unless the sun reveals himself to you. Then you can see what is light. The sun has to come in front of you, then you can see light. So Krishna is like the sun. Only when he reveals himself in the heart, then we know what is Krishna. Till that time, we can only have some. But we know those people who are revealing Krishna to us. Them they can know. We can know them. Said, you are the one who is revealing Krishna to me. Anyway, his last attachment to his material world was the shawl given by Srikant, brother-in-law. It exchanged for a quilt, Junaik Chaddar. Said, yes, now you are free from all material attachments. Throwing of the mouth organ, last thing is gone. Similar. Nothing remains now. It's completely open to the Lord's mercy. So, the Lord here for 2 months, just like Krishna spoke Gita, we know Krishna spoke Gita to Arjun. That was a powerful conversation which took place, Prabhupada says, for about 1 hour. You could not speak for days in the battlefield. Even 1 hour is too much. But even then, the Lord took out time to say this to Arjun and through him to all of us. But here is the Lord, the same Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, speaking to Sanat Goswami for 2 months. Now, what type of vast knowledge was given for 2 months, practically the whole day. And then he gave four powerful instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Which is the instruction given to all the Goswamis. So you should go to Vrindavan and excavate the places of pilgrimage there. Radha Krishna Nitalila, Korilo, Prakash. Write scriptures Mahaprabhu explained that every script of this world, every Samhita, every Upanishad, every Veda Purana, every scripture ever written by Vyasa and others, is all only meant to understand the essence, which is worship of Radha and Krishna. That is the true essence of every scripture. So excavate from this oceanic number of literatures in this world, talking about spirituality, extract from them the essence of Shuddha Bhakti. Nana Shastra Vicharanika Nipunav, expertly examine them, and establish what? Saddharma Samsthapakav. Saddharma means eternal religion of the soul. Saddharma, not Asaddharma. Everything else is Asaddharma. Saddharma Samsthapakav, establish, do this the second service. The third thing you do is build beautiful temples of the Lord and establish deities there. And fourth is show the world the exact example and etiquette of a true follower of bhakti. Four powerful instructions. After hearing this, Sanatana Goswami, of course, it's a long pastime, so many things Sanatana Goswami has done. But he did that. One of his very beautiful stories of his humility comes up when actually he goes to Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, on the way to Puri from Vrindavan, he passes through Jharikhanda forest. And in the forest there is nothing to eat. Wild animals. So, as he is walking through, he drinks the water from the various ponds and eats whatever he must have got here and there. It takes days to reach Puri. But in the process, he developed a body which is full of sores and a powerful itch and oozing blood from the sores. A complete big boils, oozing and smelling horrible. And in that state, he reached Jagannath Puri. Infected body. And first he went to the, where did he go? He didn't go to Jagannath Puri temple. He never wanted to do that. Why? Because he would touch the priests there and contaminate them who are going to serve Lord Jagannath. He never wanted to do that. He was so humble. So he went to the kutir of Thakur Haridas. They were so happy to meet each other. When Paramahamsas meet, that is a special celebration. So Lord Chaitanya was just coming here. And the Lord did come just at that time. And they both offered pranams to Lord Chaitanya with great humility. The Lord lifted Haridas Thakur and embraced him. So this is Sanatan, your dear devotee, offering your obeisances. Oh, and Lord Chaitanya immediately raised him up and embraced him also. How he must have felt like that. Imagine the spiritual master comes to you to embrace and your body is full of oozing pus and sores and smelly. He said, please don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm so contaminated. I'm infected. But the Lord just grabbed him and said, I embrace you for my purification. The Lord of all Lords. See how wonderful the Lord is. This happened many times. The Lord would come every day. It is said, Haridas Thakur being a Yavana, not being a Yavana in the sense, he is a Vaishnava of course, no designation like that, but from a Yavana family, he would not enter Jagannath temple. And Sanatana Goswami being the way he was, his body, he would not enter Jagannath temple. So how do they get dressed in Lord Jagannath? Who wants to stay in Puri without seeing Lord Jagannath? Everyone wants to go and see him. So Lord Jagannath would come out of the temple as Lord Chaitanya, it is said, and meet them every day for several hours. And carry Mahaprasad of Jagannath for them. And how much they relish talking Krishna Katha. And every the same business, the Lord would come and embrace Sanatana Goswami. And he felt so horrible. Said, very soon, Rath Yatra is coming. This body is useless. I can't do any practical service with this body. The Lord is doing this every day to me. And I feel so horrible. I feel suicidal. He wanted to actually give up his body in the front of Lord Jagannath's cart and said, I should get a better body in my next life where I can serve the Lord. I can't do anything with this body. This is useless. The Lord is again, this The Lord in the heart said, Sanatan, give up this nonsensical idea of suicide. The Lord knows everything in the heart of his devotee. And then what the Lord said is very, very powerful. Said, how can you destroy somebody else's property? Your body is my property. Haridas, look at this. This person is offensive. He's destroying somebody else's property. I have so much to achieve through you. If I want to preach the whole world my mission using you as my principal instrument. And this was so much rejoicing. Jai, he said. The Lord is so kind. I am useless here. I am just doing nothing. But Lord is going to use you to do his mission. Sanatan responded, no, this is not true. The Lord has come to this world to teach Harinam to the whole world as the only process of salvation, the Yuga Dharma, and that he is doing through you. You are chanting 300,000 names of Krishna, and through you he will get the whole world attached to Nam. This is what they were. Anyway, when this happened again and again, Sanatan Goswami's heart was sinking in pain to see every time the Lord would touch him, and then all this body of the Lord is like filled with all that pus and all that becomes so dirty. The Lord was effulgent. The Lord's body is so effulgent and pure like molten gold, and then all this pus and blood. Just looking at that, Sanatan would feel like my life is useless. And one day the Lord again came and grabbed him and embraced him. He said, you know Sanatan, you know Haridas, you are like my children. The Lord revealed his own heart. How he sees his devotees. When the mother embraces her child and cleanses his stool and urine, they don't feel horrible about it. In fact, mothers think this like chatushma. Chatushma is what? A fragrant substance consisting of saffron, musk, chandan, four things are there. Mas, aguru, like that. Four very fragrant things. So they think that the stool is like chatushma. I don't know what mothers really feel. We can really ask them if they felt like that when they cleansed their children's. But maybe a very great mother. The analogy of the Lord cannot be wrong. The Lord is speaking absolute words. But this is how a good mother would feel. In fact, yeah, you cannot ask the pediatrician. A friend is sitting here. Many mothers would come to the doctor, pediatrician, say, Doctor sahab, kuch karo, mera uska potty saaf nahi hota hai. Many times when the child doesn't pass stool, then the mother is very worried. Why is my child not passing stool? Constipation is a big problem in pediatric practice, you know. So then when the child passes stool, mother, he has passed stool. Very nice. Right, mother? So like that, yes, it is true. When the child passes stool, mother feels vaguely relieved, as if, you know, something, celebration. he's healthy. He's healthy. He's normal. So, this is his humility of Sanatan Goswami. One day the Lord was wanting to invite Sanatan Goswami to the Yamala Gardens to take prasad with him. So Sanatan Goswami comes through ways. He will come through the very cool, shady road, the grand road, along the Simadwara gate. Short road. Other roads through the beach. Sanatan Goswami met the Lord in April, and this incident took place in May, June, when it was like terribly hot in Jagannath Puri. Terribly hot. And at noontime, some of us had taken a bath in our ocean, we remember. And then when you take a bath in the ocean, you are like very nice. When you come out, there is no place to change your dhoti. And you can't stand on the sand and change your dhoti because it's like the sand is like burning your feet. And there is no shades there is in around the ocean. You run somewhere and you know somehow you it's an experience which we have had when we go to Puri ocean. It's scorching. And Sanatan said, how can I go along Simadwara? Because I am going to touch these Jagannath Pujaris. So he walked in the scorching sand which scalded his feet. And there were huge blebs. When you touch fire, you get blebs. He had fluid-filled blebs coming out. Like when you burn yourself, you got big, big blebs. He had these big blebs from his soul. But that eagerness to meet the Lord was so great. He's a transcendental body. That there was absolutely no feeling of pain. Imagine walking on the sand, which is scorching your feet and burning them through and through your skin, up to your bones practically. And you don't even feel the pain. How is it possible? Is the body anesthetized or something? Is it under anesthesia? No. It's just that the heart is so much with the Lord that there is no awareness of the body practically. There is no awareness. So he walked through that sand and the Lord saw his feet and said, "Oh, what has happened to you?" Satan explained. And Mahaprabhu appreciated this so much. He said, "You are following Vaishnava behavior so wonderfully, perfectly." See, Vaishnava behavior, we perform our sadhana bhakti. We chant our 16 rounds and read our scriptures and hear the classes and do deity worship and all that. Right? But actually what the Lord is looking for is proper Vaishnava behavior. In fact, Sanatana Goswami told this to Haridas Thakur. He said, "You are so great, Haridas, that some people preach very nicely, but they are not very exemplary in their behavior. Some people are very exemplary in their behavior, but they can't preach too much. But you, Haridas, are so perfect that you are doing both the things wonderfully." So this is the ideal of a devotee. He has to be a great preacher, but he has to walk his every talk. That is what is required. Because it is said his Vaishnava behavior is like the true ornament of a devotee's heart. Just like a good man or a woman especially. They look beautiful because when they are ornaments, right? So the Lord actually is looking, when he looks at our heart, looks at all of us, looking for how much actually we are manifesting the Vaishnava behavior. You're not still looking at the number of rounds we are doing. Well, that's external. But a good behavior comes from the heart. You can chant 64 rounds and still be a very arrogant type of person and very proud that I'm chanting 64 rounds. So that's not important. But if you're doing your basic sadhana, which the spiritual master has told you to do, as your vows, as your regulation, but in doing that, you manifest the... When Prabhupada was asked, for example, who's the devotee? It's very important to understand in this context of Sanatana Goswami's behavior. So Prabhupada said, my devotees chant 16 rounds and they follow four principles. Prabhupada did not say that. But Prabhupada's answer is a very profound answer of an acharya. He was answering a journalist, but it is for the whole world to understand. My devotee is known by the fact that he is a perfect gentleman or a gentle lady. That is Prabhupada's standard. That means he's talking about behavior, etiquette. He's talking about number of rounds. So Sanatana Goswami was like that. Mahaprabhu appreciated his behavior so much. Let's talk a few minutes about his Prannath. All these great souls, these Goswamis, they had deities to worship. Sanatana Goswami has very special quality, very special flavor in his personality, which is very endearing to all of us to hear and think about. The being so humble that he was, he could mix with all the people so nicely. Devotees sometimes feel that we are very elite people. They feel that they are above the ground. I am devotee. So, you know, we have a little air, a little bit of flair. egoistic flair that I am a Vaishnava. If that's what we are thinking about ourselves, then hear this story. I'll start with that first. Mahaprabhu was talking to Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi about the story. This is about a lesson in humility, very powerful. And then we go back to our previous point. The Lord told this story. It's such a nice story. We have heard it before, but it's always important to hear it again because it stresses this aspect of humility so strongly and so vividly and so graphically. We just had to imagine this pastime. It is really so graphic example of humility that when we hear it properly, or we must feel they were like a grain of sand or a drop of water in the ocean. Swaprabhu was explaining Sanatana Goswami. And one day in Dwarka, Brahma came to meet the Lord. Right? And at the entrance he was asked, so he said, please inform the Lord that the Brahma has come. Four-headed Brahma. No, actually when the silent came back and said, the Lord asking, which Brahma? So that was like, which Brahma? Four-headed Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. Chake bol kya. So go inside and tell them. Because he didn't expect any question like this. And I said, convey my message. And when he was ushered inside with respect, Brahma, the Lord, Satya Sankalpa Shakti, he just desired. And all of the Brahmas come. The Lord can do, it is more powerful. Subhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Naturally, he can just do anything instantly. Subhaviki, just effortlessly. So he just thought of all the Brahmas. And there are how many universes in this world? It said it's like you have a bag of mustard seeds. There are so many universes in this creation. There's how many Brahmas are there? Bag of mustard seed Brahmas. That means number of Brahmas are there. And all of them came into Darbar. How they fitted, I don't know. But they came. They all came. The Lord summoned them. So when the Lord calls, everyone has to come. They all came. And Brahmaji is seeing 800 Brahma, 600 Brahma is coming, 32-headed, 128-headed, 1,000-headed, million-headed Brahma. Now, at this point of time, everyone who thinks rationally has to stop thinking rationally. Don't think how this is possible. Nothing is impossible. Because we are like the frog in the well, we can only think of one head. Maybe you can think of four heads. Left, right, front, back. Four is manageable by our one head. We can think of four. Eight is like, how to fit those eight heads? But you don't have to fit them. You know, they are already fitted by Vishwakarma or the Lord. You know, the Lord is doing everything. You don't fit them. You don't have to put it into our skulls and think how it is possible. So don't think rationally when it comes to Shuddha Bhakti. Because that's our biggest problem. Just think too much from our heads. Think from your heart. This is who's telling the story? It's not a kid story, somebody telling some fairy tale. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. So he doesn't tell fairy tales to this is the creator himself speaking. This is creator himself speaking. That this is what I have created in this world. So the creator is speaking that then all the million-headed Brahmas came. Then 10 million-headed Brahmas came. Maybe even more, I don't know. All of them came, and our Brahma, he is just absolutely, you can in English word, you say, zapped. Your sight. What? Where is all these people come from? And he felt like a mosquito in the midst of elephants. If Brahma thinks like this of himself, then Brahma is way beyond our understanding. He has a body made of intelligence. There is no earth, no fire, nothing. It's a body of intelligence. Only one element. Nobody can even imagine a body of intelligence. How is that possible? Like Surya Dev people in the sun planet, people are made of fire, body made of fire. Brahma's body is full of made of intelligence. You cannot imagine what this is all about. So if Brahma's body is Brahma's head and Brahma's creative abilities of this whole engineering, this whole world are beyond all of us. How he engineered this whole world. If he thinks he's insignificant, what are we? Right? So this is a very powerful lesson in humility actually. When there's a story, that if ever I think that I'm a big preacher, or big, good, nice singer, or a nice writer, or a nice this, or nice whatever else we think, or whatever else we think of which is good about us. And we are simply, what? We are only insignificant. Prabhupada said in Hindi, Bhagwan Mahan hai, hum tuch hai. This is so easy and yet so difficult to understand. We are only tuch. Anyway, so this is the thing. So here is Sanatana Goswami, very dear to, very special flavor, that he was so loving to all the devotees. And we just go through all the villages of Vrindavan, amid all the Brijvasis. This is very special because on Guru Purnima day, this is what makes the Guru Purnima, because the Brijvasis accepted him as their spiritual master. Every Brijvasi felt that this is my spiritual master. Like the guru, the counselor, the friend, the parent of all the Brijvasis. You go to the villages. Say, oh, and you'd be welcomed with so much of tears of love. Said, oh, Goswamiji has come to our house. Welcome him. Make him seated. Wash his feet. Offer him fruits and sweetmeats and milk and yogurt. So many nice things. And you'd sit there just discussing. Oh, so, shadi ho gaya? When did you marry? Huh? How many cows do you have? How much milk do they fetch? What to do with the milk? Somebody else. So, kheti kaise chal rahi hai? How are your crops this year? Did you grow enough? You just discuss the simple, basic, domestic things of life with so much of love. So, did you get a daughter married? How old is she? Such simple, basic, nice questions of love and courtesy. Nothing exalted, nothing very high-fi. Brijvasis don't like high-fi business, basically. Brijvasis means they are not high-fi. High-fi means Bombay. Everyone else. Nose in the air. Brijvasis are just down-to-earth, simple people. They are like Krishna. Nothing high-fi. Krishna is so simple. Brijvasis are just like him, very simple. So it's simple talk. But even a simple talk, they could perceive the deep love of Sanatana Goswami for them. And there are any problems, they would say, this has happened. And he would counsel them, encourage them, inspire them, guide them. I said, please stay in our house for 2-3 days. We just don't want to leave you. So he would change all his preaching programs and stay with them for 2-3 days. And as when he's going out of the house, the whole family comes crying tears of love, bidding him farewell. And he go to the next village. And as he go to the next village, all the Brijvasis are following him for almost the whole distance. And there are other people who are welcoming him with tears of love. Oh, Goswami has come to our village. So with tears of love, they are welcoming him to their village. They so feel so blessed that Goswami has come to our village. And they all surround him with love. It is said, Krishna consciousness is all about crying. It's all about learning to cry. Cry for Krishna, cry for devotees. This was the constant exchange between Brijvasis and Sanatana. They would all just love him so much that they would just cry for him. It was more dear than their life. A very deep bond of love was there between Brijvasis and Sanatana Goswami, which we can't understand. So as devotees, we need to understand this simple behavior. No adambar, no hypocrisy, no duplicity, no external stance, no facade. Just be simple. In devotee circles, this is so nice if we can all be like this, as most of us or most people here are. In our temple, we are blessed that people are just so simple. Some people are very rich here, some people are very qualified here. But in front of Krishna, what are we? In front of Brahma, like Brahma, what are we? We are just nothing. So we don't interact on that, on a material, designation platform here. When we come here, we are all servants of Krishna. We are like just a large family of Prabhupada, a large family of Radha Gopinath. So we just have to be that. Simple. Sarala Koriya Mon, Acharya say, you can only get Lord Chaitanya's mercy when you do Sarala Koriya Mon. Just your simple should become totally simple. Very simple. Then you can get Vrindavan. Otherwise you can't get Vrindavan with this Bombay attitude. You may land up in the demigod planet. It's pride. So like this, very humble, very simple person. As he was moving around, he reached Mahavan. In Mahavan, he was told that a very special deity, which was 5,000 years old, and excavated by Advaita Acharya. His name was Madan Gopal. Installed by Vajranath, the great grandson of Sri Krishna. He was earlier formed by Acharya at Advaita Vat and then brought temporarily to stay at Mahavan. The Lord would always go to see the Lord every day. And one day he was sitting there and he saw that a lot of cowherd boys were playing. And they're playing so beautifully and naturally and sweetly, like children do. Very children, innocent people. Just childish activities. And he was attracted to them. Wow, these gopas are playing so nicely. Among all of them, one child was looking very special. So then all the children went to their homes and he followed this child into his home. He said, oh yes, where is he going? Where is he going? Where is he going? And he followed him and he entered the temple. As soon as he entered the temple, that boy disappeared. The deity of Madan Gopal was there. Ah, this is Krishna playing with the covered boys of Vrindavan. And what his obeisances. That particular night, Madan Gopal came to his dream and said, please take me from here. And I want you to worship me. The Lord brought him, the Sadhavasan brought him from Mahavan. He brought him to his place of residence, which was asked, Dwadash Aditya Tila. Right on the bank of the Jamuna. And this is the same place where the Lord Krishna performed his pastimes after killing Kalia, subduing Kalia, where the 12 sons had given him heat to cool his, to warm his body. And there's a sweat from the Lord's body that created a pond. So he was staying there. Of course, he didn't have a kutir there. Now this person who was living in palaces before, Tyaktva Turnamashesha Mandalapati Shrim Sada Tuchavat. A devotee's happiness is not based on his external situation. He may be living in palaces, he's happy, in Krishna consciousness is there. If that's what the Lord wants to stay in, a good house, a good flat, 3 BHK, 5 BHK, whatever else. But he's happy doing his bhakti there, that's fine. If tomorrow he is reduced to a situation where he is to stay under a tree or in a cottage or wherever else, then his happiness is not based on the house he stays. This is all external. It was always going to change. But here he was happy staying under a tree. So there was no house. It was just a tree in which he was staying. And he housed the deity also under a tree. But see the intimacy of his love. This person was getting all royal food for so many years as almost like a king of Bengal. Now he's surviving on dry rotis. Even our exalted brahmacharis are getting ghee wala rotis in their lunch time. Of course they deserve it. They should be healthy. But even this mendicant, in dry rotis, not even salt. No salt. Can you imagine food without salt? Try to eat saltless food and see for one day. Extremely austere. Very austere. He's thinking, I cannot offer the Lord even, I'm offering dry rotis, not even salt to eat. I feel horrible about it. The devotee wants to give the best to the Lord and the least for himself. Right? Least for himself and everything for the Lord. That is the devotee. A karmi means everything for me, little bit for Krishna. Janmashtami, 5,000 rupees donation. Some donation I will give. Everything is for me. All the crores and crores of rupees is for something for Krishna also. Devotee doesn't think like that. Everything for the Lord. Manasa, deho, geho, yoki chumor. Whatever I have, arpilutu apade, Nanda Kishore. So everything for the Lord, but nothing for myself. Anyway, we know this beautiful story. How at that same time, this great personality came, Krishnadas Kapoor, from Multan. He was carrying this big consignment of goods to sell in Agra. And with the Lord's desire, his boat was stuck, boat was sinking. He came in frantic mood to get himself saved. He came to this Dwarasaditya Tila. The Lord said, oh, witness Goswami, he will help you. There's a very nice thing what's said over there. The Lord sent Krishnadas Kapoor to take help from Sanatana Goswami. Sangam has felt, what can I help? My body, what do I really have? How can I really help? So he took him to the Lord and said, he can help. So it is said, this is a nice realization given, that all preachers, whatever we are, we're preaching this, that, we're cultivating people, college preaching, this, that, counselors, whatever we are, mentors, all that, we are only preaching Our preaching is what? What is preaching? It's not about quoting shlokas. Preaching is only a means to connect that soul to Krishna and the devotees. That is preaching. Yes, it's all about philosophy and explaining them and convincing them, all that is there. But preaching essentially means sambandha. Preaching means to connect that soul back to the sangha of devotees and through sangha of devotees to Radha and Krishna. That is preaching. Sanat Goswami is not thinking, oh, you come to me, I'll help you, come on, I'll help you. What do you want me to do? Said, yeah, what can I do? Here is the Lord, he can do everything. So that's the preacher. The spiritual master also thinks like this. He just takes his disciples into the fold of his love. Said, but Krishna, my dear Lord, accept these disciples of mine. What can I really do? But if you bless them, then my life is perfect. That's what a guru also does. He just takes disciples, not for his, say, oh, I have so many disciples. No. He just takes all of them who come to his shelter and says, tells Krishna on the day of initiation, my dear Lord, my dear Guru, you accept them. If you accept them and bless them, then my disciples have some hope in spiritual life. That's a preacher. That's a perfect attitude of a preacher. So anyway, the Lord said, do you have any salt on your boat? He said, I have lots of salt. So Krishna gave him the salt to eat. And the Lord, by his, when he was satisfied, the boat stopped sinking. He went and sold his goods, made a lot of money, came back and said, Goswamiji, what can I do for you now? You have saved my life, you have saved my goods, I have become wealthy. Goswami said this, humility, nothing for me, but everything for the Lord. My Lord is staying under a tree. Krishna lives under a tree. He lives in palaces. Make a temple for him. So this is the first temple of Vrindavan. The first temple of Vrindavan. The Madan Mohan temple. Considered on the top of the Dwadashaditya Tila. It's right there, right now also. One of the most beautiful structures to see and behold. The Vrindavan skyline is incomplete without Madan Mohan temple. Vrindavan is beautiful, no doubt. And the skyline of Vrindavan is very beautiful. But you go through Keshi Ghat, you go through the Jamuna, you're boating along the Jamuna and seeing all around. But if you don't see Madan Mohan temple, that is the beauty of Vrindavan. That particular scene is embedded in the hearts of the devotees. That dome stretching the sky lifts your consciousness just by seeing it. So that is considered the symbol of Vrindavan. The Madan Mohan temple, the first temple of the Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya's instruction is fulfilled. Temple has come up. And then others, Goswami also made the temples. Anyway, he admitted his strictness of his vows. He would every day perform Braja Parikrama of Govardhan. Every day, the long Parikrama, which covers Chandan Sarovar also. A long one, which most devotees have not done. You take the little shorter one, 21 kilometers. There's a long one, I think it's 26 kilometers. And every day, and then he would come back. He was living at this time at Chakra Tirtha. And then he became old. He was an old man also. Now we perform Govardhan Parikrama once in a few years. Right? And feel it's a great feat. It's a great thing I have done today. I have walked Govardhan Hill today. You feel, oh, this my life is something special is done today. You really feel a sense of achievement. When you perform, really, at least I feel like that. When I feel, oh, I should have done something substantial. I walked through Govardhan Hill, you know, something good. I pat myself on the back and say, yeah, well done, well done. But he would do this every day. For years together. And someone told him, you give up this vow. He said, Krishna, if Krishna tells me, I'll do this. I've taken a vow for Krishna, so I cannot do this. So one day, this coward boy came to him. He said, Goswami, you are so old. So then Krishna manifested himself, went on top of Govardhan Hill, this coward boy, and he played his flute in such a melodious manner. The fifth note, the most special note of Krishna's flute is the fifth note. When he plays the fifth note, stones melt. And throat-hearted people also melt. The stone which Krishna was standing melted. And Krishna's feet became embossed in that Krishna brought that rock to say to Krishna, to Goswamiji and said, this is the rock. If you just circumambulate this rock 4 times every day, you get the same benefit of doing Govardhan Parikrama. That very transcendental rock is still there for all of us to see and worship at the Radha Damodar Mandir. So special that rock is. It is the jewel of this world. So special. Memento left behind by the Lord for all of us to worship. So in this way, he had taken this very serious, beautiful vows to worship. In the end, he decided at Chakratirtha itself, he left his body. He left his body. And when he left his body, all the Brijbasis came. Everyone came. All came to offer the respects to this great personality. And till this day, the Brijbasis of Sanatana Goswami, it is considered that they all perform Govardhan Parikrama. Why do you perform Govardhan Parikrama? It is said that in Kartik, a lot of Brijbasis perform Govardhan Parikrama. That is true. Still true. But far more number of Brijbasis perform Sanatana Goswami today. If you go to Govardhan Hill today, you will see large crowds, flocks and flocks of Brijbasis walking with devotion around Govardhan Hill. Why? In remembrance of Sanatana Goswami. Because this was activity was very dear to their guru, Parikrama. Therefore, even today in their memory, they walk around Govardhan Hill. So from this great Acharya, there is so much to learn. His life is full of exalted jewel-like qualities. But among all these qualities, if you can imbibe to some extent a trace of this quality of humility, that is required, that is desirable. That's what we can pray for. His Samadhi Mandir is resting right now, just at the foot of this small hill, Dodasaditya Tila. Because his Pranath is there, Madan Mohan, so he's at his foothills, always at his lotus feet. So now also devotees go and offer the pranams, and primarily they pray to Goswamiji for this. Blessed is this one quality which can attract Krishna to our hearts. Very rare to get this quality. But everything is possible by the blessings of the great souls. Everything is possible. So today's day, we can spend in this mood of devotional remembrance. And it is said, we all understand, we all believe, we have faith, that there is special mercy available on the day of the disappearance of great souls. Right? So this particular day is manifested in particular mercy, which is more, where he is more accessible to us than other days. So they are all standing there, the six Goswamis. Of course, there is so much to be said about six Goswamis also. They are not, it's not just one Goswami, but they are all of six of them. One day, Rupa Sanatan Raghu Yugav, Sri Jiva Gopalakav. They all of them are standing, giving their darshan to all of us. So let us take full benefit of today's day and rejoice in their holy remembrance, and pray that we can chant sincerely with true humility of heart. The key to success is Trinada Bisuni Chena Taro Riva Sahishnuna Amanina Mana Dena Kirtina Sadhari. If we chant with this quality, which is the key to success in chanting, the key to success in spiritual life, then our chanting becomes perfect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai.